The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
This episode of Beyond is brought to you by Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/podcastbeyond for your free audiobook download.
Users lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 270. I am one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the pride of Long Island, Colin Moriarty.
Hello.
Powerhouse, formerly known as Ryan Clements.
Hola.
And no Andrew Goldfarb. He is busy newsing something, I imagine.
Who's sitting here at this microphone? Look at this.
That's Charles on yet. We got a giraffe mic up there. It's just giant up there doing its thing. Living its life. How you boys doing?
Doing great, man. How are you today?
Good. We're back in the old Tuesday morning time slot here. Look at this. 10:30 in the morning. We're down here cracking the eggs, making the bacon,
flipping
the flapjacks, as they say, I think.
Yep.
One of the big ones.
Man, if we had some flapjacks and eggs and bacon,
you'd be sitting
I couldn't eat the bacon, but I could eat the flapjacks.
Well, you could eat the bacon.
Well, I could.
You could.
I wouldn't eat the bacon, I should have said.
This vegetarian business that you're on now.
You can eat some of that broke-ass vegetarian bacon if you want.
I probably could.
Toe-faking. So what they call it?
Bacon.
Faking the bacon.
Just faking bacon.
Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Reporter. Time for some news.
There are 7 items on the list.
7 items on this week's Roper Report.
It's a short list.
Okay.
I think 7's a good number.
Yeah.
No, you're fine.
I like 10. Like a nice round.
10's a lot of news to choke down.
A lot of news to choke down.
You're choking. If you're choking on the news, you're doing it wrong, I think.
Personally. Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know if you should be choking on it. It's just video games. Number one, Diablo 3 is running on consoles at Blizzard, though it's not yet considered a, quote, official project, end quote. Blizzard executive Rob Pardo told Polygon that they're testing how the game runs on console. If their attempts at a port go well enough, it will become official and Diablo 3 will migrate over to the land of console gaming. Just as Colin Moriarty predicted many moons ago right here on Podcast Beyond.
Well, we had another article a long time ago about that.
Yes.
Though I believe one of your predictions entailed that it would hit the Vita in late 2012 or something ridiculous.
I don't know
like
about that. Someone go back and figure that out.
No, I'm pretty sure your prediction was either this year or next year, which I doubt either of those is true.
Well, you think it'll be next year?
It's definitely going to come to console next year. Write it down, mark it down, December 11th, 2012. Diablo 3 will be out on console by the fall.
Is it a PlayStation 4 game? Yeah.
No, I don't think it is.
You remember these? Remember the little...
No one can see what you're doing. No one can see what you're doing, Clements!
So I'm about to explain it. It got
you remember this? Hey, listener! Remember this thing I'm doing you can't see?
It's the origami claw. You got you and you fold the
origami?
Paper up. Origami? Origami killer.
The whole
killer.
System's out of order, and you got this origami killer. Ah, yes, that origami killer.
Origami killer.
Maybe the computer crashed. Who knows? You'll never know. It was that sly of a transition,
it like
listeners.
That rant ended very abruptly.
As if 5 to 6 minutes of things evolved beyond it. Ah, beyond. All right, so that was number one, right? That was number one on the Rover Report.
Yeah, that's right. Number two. A new Metal Gary. I'm gonna start.
New Metal Gary.
No, Metal Gary is. Fuck. That sounds scary. The Metal Gear. Starting again. Number two. A new Metal Gear game has been announced, or so it seems. At the VGAs, the Phantom Pain was revealed, but it quickly became evident that the game is really Metal Gear derived.
Metal Gear.
The unknown studio purported to be behind the game, Swedish developer Moby Dick Games, has a website with all sorts of clues on it about the game. But really, the actual clues are in the trailer itself. Greg.
Yeah.
Take it away.
All right, so first off, I'll start with this. This is very annoying and stupid. All right, I was watching the VGAs, and I'm like, it looks like a Metal Gear trailer, and then everybody starts tweeting at me about all these Metal Gear references, and I'm like, great, so you just wasted your whole time, Konami. You had the world by the balls. You could have told us anything you wanted about Metal Gear. Instead, you show a fake trailer that's now going to be kicked around forever. Not to mention everybody watching the VGAs. They're not the IGN crowd. They're not the game trailers crowd. They're not keeping up on what's happening. At E3 next year, there's going to be people, where's that Phantom Pain? Where's the man with the hook hand?
Before you go in,
he's clawing at the door. Let him in. Stop making out.
Before you get into your analysis, because I really want to hear this, I will say that when we look back on this, I think it'll be something that's really cool. Like, oh, this is actually like a total viral trailer that, you know, was debuted during a big award show. And I like looking back on it. I will tell you, as one of the guys sitting there with Goldfarb late at night trying to like sort this out in real time, it's just really frustrating.
Yeah.
If you're working in the industry, it's annoying.
Yeah.
And then if you're not working in the industry, you're just a fan, you think it's cool, great. But then for all the other people that aren't, as you say, tuned in, no one's going to have any idea that this, like, they're going to, 6 months from now, you'll have a kid being like, you got Phantom Pain in yet? You're gonna be like, that game doesn't exist.
That's my problem with it. And maybe it's just me getting old and jaded. But I just want the news. I just want the information. I just want to see the trailer. All right. And not to mention, there's rumors that it's Metal Gear 5, not even Metal Gear Ground Zeroes. Maybe it ties into Metal Gear Ground Zeroes. There's a million conspiracy theories out there.
Do we need
a third Metal Gear game that's in the works right now that isn't out? No, we don't.
Do you want to tell us about like some of that?
Sure.
Like,
I mean, if you want to look at it, right, like his hand's chopped off. You got the hook hand. He's got the mullet like Snake. He's got an eye patch
so
like
Captain
Big
Hook.
Boss. Exactly. Well, Phantom.
What's the hands thing?
Well, I mean, I was making a reference to the fact. The whole thing keeps asking through questions, you know, is this real? What's reality? Why are they here for me? There's a million questions in it. It's the whole thing. When I step back and look at it, I think it's somehow tied into Big Boss having a nightmare, whether it be, me and Colin talked about this for a while, whether it be Psycho Mantis himself, a young version of Psycho Mantis, or one of the million other Metal Gear characters that are like Psycho Mantis that can toy with your mind. It seems like it's all a crazy-ass dream sequence, because like, it's almost, you know, Total Recall-ish, right? Where like it seems like Big Boss or whoever it is waking up. He doesn't have a hand, but he feels like he should. He can't stand, but he's still doing the army crawl like we know Snake what to do. He's still got the eye patch that he'd expect Snake to wear. Almost like you are waking up from this dream where you were Big Boss, but you're this injured vet, when it's probably the flip-flop that you're, you know, Big Boss being put into a dream state, waking up in this thing.
The old flip-flop.
Yeah, the old flip-flop. So you got a guy who looks like Psycho Mantis in there. You got all these Big Boss references I just made. There's flower petals floating in there like Metal Gear Solid 3 and Peace Walker for the fight with Boss. There's a guy who has Vulcan's pants who's on fire. People are like, it's Vulcan! Ah! And then you got a fire whale. Then you got a big old fire whale jumping out of nowhere.
Where is Fat Man? Where is the young Fat Man?
I didn't see Psycho Mantis in this trailer, though. Where is he?
I see him.
Yeah, there's a point.
I think it's definitely Psycho Mantis.
Yeah.
There's two parts where you see him.
Yeah.
Because he's small. Psycho Mantis is really small. So when you
he's a frail little man.
So you see him in the elevator that looks like him when like Boss is looking down the hallway. And it's weird for me talking about Metal. People were saying this, by the way. This is an aside. I love Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2, so it's weird for me to actually be kind of excited about a Metal Gear game, because I always get excited about a Metal Gear game until I play it. So
did you ever play Peace Walker?
No, not yet.
We still need to do that. Yeah. We should do that this break.
Sure. Metal Gear Solid 4 was really the one that killed me.
Yeah.
Like, it did. It killed me.
Broke your heart.
But so it's exciting for me to kind of speculate about these characters. But I think it's clear as day that Psycho Mantis is in that elevator. And you see when Boss is laying on the ground at the end, you see like feet, like booted feet behind him, and then they float up.
Well, that
and they that's a Psycho Mantis thing. Now other characters do that, but
no, but it looked like when the camera quickly pans up before it cuts away, it looks like one of the patients was floating up. It doesn't look like one of the soldiers. That's
Psycho Mantis doesn't look like a soldier though.
Oh, okay.
Don't you think? I mean,
oh, so you think Psycho Mantis is one of the patients in that dream?
No, not
sequence.
Necessarily. I think. Right. I mean, I think that there's, because you're talking about Vulcan's pants, for instance. Like, I think that there are pieces, like piecemeal things, probably more than people have even realized, of some of the villains in Metal Gear's past that are.
And
like,
see, that's
in
what
his
I think it is.
And he's mixing them
exactly.
Up.
Exactly. If he's in his head, I think that we're getting all these things queued up from different places. But there are hundreds of thousands of theories out there. There's an IGN blogger who's been going through doing multiple huge posts, connecting it to Cuba and how the logo looks like hair, but it's really cute. And like, oh, there's all this crazy shit out there. And so basically it is just a giant clusterfuck of information out there that I could give a rat's ass about. Just show me a Metal Gear trailer. Give me a release date.
So I think that it's kind of cool in the sense. So I'm of two minds here. When I saw the Phantom Pain, I was like, it's a new IP. This is awesome. Fucking finally. You know, we're not like dealing with 2, 3, 4, 5. Like it's a new, and then it became very clear what we were looking at. And so then I was kind of like, oh, Jesus Christ, like another Metal Gear game, you know. But then it seemed like this one seems to be in tune a little bit with like some of the older Metal Gear Solid games.
See, this is my whole thing about Metal Gear right now as it stands, is that I think Big Boss is where it's at. I think you should play Peace Walker. I think Peace Walker is a fantastic game. I think it solved a lot of the problems that I had, or not even that I had, but you have with Metal Gear Solid 4, that it's just complicated. It's not a Metal Gear game. It's all these crazy-ass things. Peace Walker was getting it back to, all right, let's get the layers of the onion away, and it's just like, this is Metal Gear. You're on this mission. What's happening? Is the boss dead? There you go. Go out and play this game. And that made sense. You know what I mean? You had these cool characters. And Ground Zeroes, from what they showed, are bringing the characters from Peace Walker to the, you know, next console game, whatever, whether it be PS4 or whatever.
The villains, you're saying?
No, it's the cast of characters from. Well, there's a couple villains, I guess, but it's more like it's the characters established in Peace Walker are over there doing things over there.
How are the villains in Peace Walker?
The villains in Peace Walker are robots for the most part, which I found haunting and chilling because they sing when they come to attack you.
It's lame.
You're lame.
See, because the coolest part about like what always drew me in, especially I think the first game has the best cast of enemies.
Yeah,
including but not limited to Decoy Octopus.
Yeah.
The guy you never actually see.
You do see him, but you won't see him in his true form.
Yeah.
The problem is that Metal Gear Solid, you're right, Metal Gear Solid 1 did have the best cast of characters, and the problem was that then Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 decided that, well, we'll just copy that. We'll just make an exact photocopy of those villains and slightly change their names, and it got boring and worse and worse and worse.
I don't know. I think like the Metal Gear Solid 3 characters, that's the game I have like not a lot of experience with, but... The pain and then like
the sorrow.
Yeah, the sorrow. Like I
and the bees.
Good, yeah, like that was a cool motif, I thought.
Sure.
Nothing is gonna beat, you know, I love Fat Man, but in reality nothing is gonna beat like
Metal Gear 1, like, man. Sniper, you know,
Vulcan Raven and Sniper Wolf and Psycho Mantis and Decoy Octopus.
You love it.
Revolver.
I want them to make a game just about Decoy Octopus.
No, you don't.
And what's
he's just constantly
story.
Having a heart attack.
So
in
I was
the
reading.
Bathroom.
So I was
spoilers
on Saturday morning. Sorry. I was wicking around Metal Gear because I was like, oh, this is kind of, I'm kind of feeling excited about Metal Gear right now. And I was reading like the Metal Gear Solid like wiki on Wikia, and there's like a whole wiki on Decoy Octopus, and I was like, wow, this is a fascinating amount of information about a guy that was never in the game. but it's cool like that. He apparently cut his ears off, and shaved his nose down. Like in surgery, so that he could replicate anyone he wanted or whatever.
Nice.
See, I always thought Decoy Octopus had some sort of supernatural powers, but he doesn't. He like actually dresses up like characters. It's weird. Weird little thing.
That is weird.
Because he was literally indistinguishable from not DARPA.
DARPA
Chief.
Chief.
Yeah, it was DARPA Chief.
Donald Anderson.
Yeah,
right?
Anderson, that's what I was thinking of.
DARPA Chief.
And what does he do? Decoy Octopus tells Anderson that he tricks him into getting the key card for Metal Gear Rex, right? About, like, they can't... Psycho Mantis can't do something to one of the characters, so they convince...
It's been a while.
Anderson.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's like Psycho Mantis can't break one of the guys to get the code for Metal Gear. So he convinces... So Decoy Octopus dresses up as Anderson to convince...
Snake
to
go get the keys.
Key card.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's...
And that's the whole thing. If Snake would have just not done anything, Liquid could have never turned on the Metal Gear.
Exactly.
Stupid ass
so
Snake.
So Decoy Octopus is at the center.
Go back to Alaska, you blonde bastard.
If you go back, like the layers of the onion, like you're saying, you peel all those layers of the onion back, Decoy Octopus is right at the very center.
Yeah. There's no Metal Gear Solid franchise without Decoy Octopus.
It's got the best name. It's ever so slightly too awkward.
Number three.
We're trucking along now. We're burning through.
Dark Souls 2 has been announced and has been confirmed as a current generation game, presumably coming out in 2013. We haven't seen any in-game footage of it, so we don't know much about it. Other than that, it's a PS3 and Xbox 360 game. Now, that really surprised me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a little surprised, too.
Because we didn't know that. In case people are curious how they know, they only saw the trailer. The trailer kind of speaks for itself. It's beautiful. It's all... You know, movies basically. So it could have been on a next gen console, but then we got a press release later saying it was a 360 and PS3 game, and that surprised me. But then again, it didn't because From Software
PC too.
Yeah, PC. From Software can quickly turn around on the engine and make the game. Now, I thought what was interesting about it, and I don't really give a shit one way or the other because I don't care about Dark Souls, but I know a lot of people do, is that the game is supposed to be more accessible.
Yeah,
and I know that doesn't ring.
A lot of people mad about that. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know.
So there's a difference between being more accessible and more difficult, right? So I'm wondering if the accessibility will just open up the game, make it more clear as to what you're supposed to do. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be easier. Like, they could make it harder, for all we know. I mean, it could still be just as brutal, except this time you know what one icon does, as opposed to having to look it up on the internet, etc.
True.
Sounds like more crazy talk. It'll still be obtuse in Japanese, so don't worry. I think everybody's going to be happy with this one.
That obtuseness was Dark Souls...
calling card.
Oh, yeah, hallmark of Dark Souls was this obtuseness.
I saw someone tweet about how, like, oh, man, Blur, that was such a great Dark Souls 2 trailer. That
did not look like a Blur trailer to me, but I'm not sure.
I would not have thought that's a Blur trailer, but I'm kind of curious. Should I look it up? I'm
going to
look it
up. Sure, you do that.
All right.
Number four. North American PlayStation Plus subscribers will have two new free games to download starting today, December 11th. Those two games are Super Street Fighter 4 and Roshard.
Arcade Edition.
Roshard Arcade Edition?
No, the other one.
Which will replace Outland and Blood Rain Betrayal in the instant game collection. The games that they're replacing are better than the games that we're getting. But Roshard is still a fascinatingly
good
game. It's a fascinating game because we didn't really know much about it. I know Clements did a really nice video preview on it before it came out.
A long time ago.
Ended up being a pretty special.
John Roshard.
The tale
miner.
Of John Roshard.
Space miner.
Jinx. Number five. The Last of Us finally has a release date.
Yay!
It's coming out May 7th, 2013, and there are some pre-order bonuses to be had, including the game's soundtrack, a dynamic theme, exclusive avatars, and perks to be unlocked in The Last of Us is still unknown multiplayer mode.
Frank writes into Beyond at IGN.com, just like you can. Hey guys, Beyond!
Beyond.
With The Last of Us new trailer being shown at the VGAs, a slew of news about the game surfaced. I noticed the multiplayer pre-order bonuses, and I just wanted to know if you guys have any information on the multiplayer. Is it a co-op campaign with Ellie and Joel, or more like Uncharted? That has the typical multiplayer modes. Frank, you are not alone in being caught off guard by the multiplayer in The Last of Us, which now demands that I ask you to deduct 5 points from your IGN fandom scale. We reported about multiplayer in June, like forever ago, that they're like Game Informer had it in their initial thing that yes, there is multiplayer in this. It is not co-op campaign. It is something different
on its
own.
We didn't write about it because we already knew. Yeah. But we know that. Yeah, we know.
Well, I mean, we wrote about it in June. We didn't write about it out of this thing.
Yeah, and we know it's not co-op. So
exactly. So that,
I think it'll be Uncharted. Like
I do too. I think it'll be Uncharted, like Survivor versus Survivor, try to get Capture the Flag, try to take zone stuff. I think there'll also be probably a Horde mode, like, you know, partner up with me and Colin, awesome. Partner up, and then there's all these mushroom people that come running at you and stuff like that. Fight them off that way.
The Goombas?
The Goombas, yeah. You got the Goombas. That's actually cool. That's actually interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, and there's an article for us to do, mm-hmm. how Mushroom Kingdom intersects with Last of Us. Mm-hmm. This is a prequel to Mario Brothers.
Yes.
I like that.
It's actually, the Last of Us is a post-apocalyptic of the United States is... a commentary on what happens to the Mushroom Kingdom once the reign of Princess Peach ends. So they're parallel to each other and it's trying to tell you a really important
story. Do we ever meet Princess Peach's father?
No.
The King Peach?
The King Peach.
Yeah.
King Peach.
All right. You know who just wrote into?
Who?
Mitchell Morgan.
Oh.
You trust him implicitly.
Uh-huh. Mitchell Morgan.
Mitchell Morgan writes into beyond.ign.com and says, Beyond! Do you guys think that the inclusion of multiplayer in The Last of Us is a good idea? Do you think the team that was working on Uncharted 3's multiplayer is working on The Last of Us multiplayer or something completely different? Thanks, Mitchell Morgan.
I was actually a little... So anytime... All right. Starting over. This is going to sound a little silly. Anytime that a game that looks like it has such a stellar single-player experience is also including multiplayer, I immediately assume, and maybe it's a bad assumption, I immediately assume it's an afterthought, or it'll be not all the primary resources are dedicated to it, or it will somehow be taking away resources from the single-player. Like, if a game was not designed from the ground up with multiplayer in mind...
Well, this one was.
I wonder.
That's
my
though. Yeah, it's one of those things... It's a multifaceted question here. Do I care about the multiplayer in Last of Us? Probably not that much. Of course, I said that about Uncharted and really dug Uncharted's thing.
Sure.
Do I think it's a bad thing? Of course not. I mean, Naughty Dog's got teams for multiplayer, for single player. I doubt that any resources are being lost to it. And not to mention, this will be their third multiplayer game now after doing two Uncharted's.
I just wonder, like, if, say, the multiplayer team had been helping with the single player instead. I'm just saying, there are resources. It might not be lost, but there are resources devoted. Like, you are... using resources for one thing as opposed to the other thing. I will say, though, that if what I'm predicting is that, I mean, it must be some sort of horde mode where it's a bunch of survivors and you're trying to survive against an infected.
You'd hope so, yeah. That'd be cool.
I think that would be rad.
Yeah.
I mean, if it works, it works.
Yeah, horde mode-like stuff is good because I loved it in Gears of War 3, and we played horde mode quite a bit in Mass Effect 3, and I was very skeptical about it even after I played it because it ran like shit when I first played Mass Effect 3's multiplayer, but it ended up being great. But I'm with Clements in the sense that if this detracts from any of the single player, you know, if we could have had 10 more hours of single player Last of Us and no multiplayer, I would take that.
See, and you know, I keep having this conversation on the train rides and car rides home about how long The Last of Us is going to be.
I think it'll, like, I want to think that it's going to be a full, like, a big game. Like,
I think it's going to be 7-8 hours tops. I think it's going to be right there in the Uncharted time frame. But how, do you
Uncharted
feel
it's not 7 or 8 hours long?
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Two is, yeah, two is totally 7 to 8 hours long. Three is a little bit longer.
I don't know. I want to say like 10 hours.
You suck.
I'm gonna guess
and that, I mean, if you're going without a guide looking for every treasure and shit, maybe. If you're just playing through the story the first time, no way.
I'm going to guess 15.
Okay. Somebody write all this down. Mitchell Morgan, you write all this down and let us know when The Last of Us comes
out.
Poor
Mitchell Morgan. He's got school to do.
No, right? Just keep making the app updates. It just got updated.
Just drop out.
The Podcast Beyond app just got updated. Everybody go download it off of iTunes
Soundboard.
And Android. Yeah.
No, but I think the multiplayer is going to be fine. You know, Naughty Dog knows what they're doing, but I will say that to answer Mitchell's question more directly is that I don't think that the team that has did Uncharted 3 has anything to do with The Last of Us multiplayer or single player. And
well,
I think that they've moved on to probably another Uncharted game.
I think this is one. There was a big conversation over on Twitter this weekend about all this because they put out there, I forget which one of our peers, one of the other sites, so I don't want to name anybody wrong, put something out there about how I think it might have been McGaff. McGaff was up in a fuss about the fact that Uncharted 2's team had gone over to do The Last of Us. And like Evan Wells and Cogburn and Ballard and all these people were on Twitter saying, no, it's not how it works. It's not cut and dry like that. People are going back and forth. Things are happening. It's a very fluid office of people doing it. So I wouldn't be surprised if people have moved around on teams and are helping out. You know, people who did stuff with Uncharted 3 are over, multiplayer over there doing this stuff.
Well, now that they have to crunch probably pretty soon.
Sure, sure.
Everyone's probably going to be all hands on deck. But
all hands on deck.
But yeah, I think that the cores of the teams probably remain the same. I think Uncharted 3 is better than Uncharted 2, but a lot of people don't think that. And so if you think the team that did Uncharted 2 is better than the team that did Uncharted 3, that means that the better team is doing The Last of Us, if that makes any sense. So I think they're all great games, but I don't know. We'll see. Where's that
Patapon 3? Patapon Vita? I want to know too.
Jack and Daxter.
Oh,
four.
Greg's making a lot of notes to himself on this episode of Podcast Beyond. I'm very curious to know what they are.
There's stuff
He's
to promote.
He's writing like Superman fan fiction.
That's true
Superman
too.
Superman fan fiction?
Yep.
Have you ever written any fan fiction, Greg?
Probably somewhere. I don't know.
All right. I wrote a Star Wars fan fiction once. Oh. I wrote it. No, it wasn't about Bosk.
Was it about Zuckus?
It was about... Well, first of all, when I say write, I mean that I got...
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, joining the podcast, Andrew Goldfarb.
Dark Knight of News.
Hi. What are you using? Yeah, use number 4 there.
There it is. He's back. He might be a little quiet, just as a warning.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi, Andrew.
I was telling everybody that when I was much, much younger, I wrote the first page of a Star Wars fan fiction.
About Bosk.
Not about Bosk. It was about the girl, the blue-skinned Jedi girl that, like, gets...
Leia.
No. Yup.
Leia. Grand Admiral Thrawn.
No, not Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Nor is it Salacious Crumb.
Salacious Crumb.
Reese.
Who?
Reese. He's Reese. The guy with three eyes.
No, it wasn't... Reese
from Street Fighter?
Reese.
It wasn't Porkins either.
M. Bison.
He should have got some Porkins. How can you forget Porkins?
You and Steve talked about Porkins last week. It was amazing.
Oh my god, I love Porkins.
So you wrote a fanfic about IG-88's love affair with
floppy discs.
Is IG-88 that's the robot, right? Or yes. The droid, I should say.
Yeah, he's a droid bounty.
Oh man,
my Star Wars nerddom is coming out right now.
Are you a Star Wars over Star Trek kind of guy?
I used to love Star Wars when I was a kid. Like, love, adore Star Wars. I have every Star Wars action figure created from 1995 to 2002, I guess.
That's a lot of action figures.
It would be before, it would be like 2001 because it was episode 1 only. And then episode 1 came out and ruined everything.
And you just burned all those figures.
Yeah. And they're worthless now. I think I told you the story about when Greg and I were at Comic-Con last year in New York, and I saw all these carded figures that like I used to like love when I was a kid. From like the mid and late 90s,
like when they selling had the orange,
cardboard. Yeah, the orange, exactly. Yeah. Power of the Force.
Yep.
And
of course.
And they're worthless. They're fucking worthless. And I was talking because I have all of them. A lot of them are carded or boxed. And Yeah, I was talking to guys there, and he's like, they've over-manufactured these, like, so much, like, we can't get rid of them. Like,
you can get
truckloads of these things if you want them, like, from dealers.
One of my cousins was dating a guy who worked for Kenner, and so he would always bring over all those figures, and I had, like, so many of them, but I was really into, like, the old-school ones, like, the ones from the 70s and, well, from the 80s, I guess, and... Yeah, those are now worth, like if you have a carded figure from the 80s, those are worth a ton, but mine are all, like, chewed and disgusting because I was a kid and didn't know what I was doing.
Stupid them? Kid playing your toys.
You chewed on them?
Yeah, we were poor back then. That's what I ate.
But I remember...
Explains a lot.
I remember...
That's how you got them chompers.
I was so nerdy back in the day that I used to, like, go on a website called Rebel... What was it called? Rebel Force, I think.
Rebel FM.
No.
TheForce.net.
It was Yavin 4 was one of them, and there was another one that was like, there was these,
wasn't the one called, it was like Toys R Gus or something, was their abbreviation?
Yeah, something, yeah, there was a few. Anyway, like, they had, like, the box distribution of, like, they would come in cases, like,
yeah.
figures, and they, based on the number on the case, you could figure out, like, what the distribution of, like, how many of each, and so.
I did this with DC Comics figures, where I would go into Toys R Us, and I would see them on shelves and get a boost up there and take it down and tear open the thing and look through, yeah.
And you knew which was the rare one. And
yep.
Which, like,
you knew how many Lex Luthors were packed in with all these Supermen.
And that's why, like, Leia was, like, by far the rarest character, and then Lando was really rare, and Stormtrooper and Obi-Wan Kenobi were really rare in the first batch, and so. Those, like, I remember seeing Leia for the first time and just snatching it.
Yep.
You know, and, like, I didn't even have any money. My mom bought it for me because it was, like, such a big deal at, like, KB. Man, I used to love that
KB shit. Toys?
I was just absolutely, I mean, I was nuts about G.I. Joe when I was a kid, too. And actually, that got revived a little bit. Like, where, and I was telling Greg that when I, like, you know, have a lot of money in the future, hopefully, that I'm just going to buy all the G.I. Joes I'm missing because I still love G.I. Joe. But that brings back awesome memories of just being so nerdy about Star Wars. I love Star Wars, and they just fucked it up. And that's their prerogative to do that, but they lost me as a fan.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of toy stores, so that just brought me back to where the toy store that was near me, it was a Toys R Us, would have, you guys have that, like, isolated, caged-in video game section?
Oh, yeah,
where
oh,
you
yeah.
go in there. It would be, like, the video game room.
Remember, like, you had to get, like, the piece of paper and then take it to, you'd pay ticket. At the front, and then you went up front, and there's, like, a redemption person to give you the game.
I used to buy my guides at Toys R Us most of the time. Mm. That's where they always had, like, every guide in stock when I couldn't find them at Funkoland.
At what?
Funkoland.
Funkoland. You never had a Funkoland?
No, I don't think I had a Funkoland.
Oh, Funkoland was the bomb. Because
they were the first people to give you the money.
It's not mm-hmm. Funkoland.
Funco.
Funco. Yeah.
Yes.
Fun Incorporated.
Yeah.
Land.
But it's one word, Funkoland.
Right.
They eventually got bought by EB, right? They're part of the EB.
Yeah, it's all. Yeah, it's like Funkoland, Babbage's, EB Games, Electronics Boutique, which I guess the same thing.
GameStop now.
There was a Funkoland in a town on Long Island called Islandia. And I used to go there all the time, and then I remember just, like, because I'm such an old-school Nintendo nerd, like, you'd walk in, and the counter behind it was all NES games, like, slotted, and they had to be in alphabetical order, and I used to just buy the shit out of, like, NES games there, even, like, the late 90s and early 2000s.
I think about that all the time.
God, Funkoland's the best.
If you could go back in time right now and walk into that store, you could make, like, $100,000, no problem. Yeah, because, like, all those, like, sealed SNES games, just, like, take your Earthbounds and your Mario RPGs by the piles to the front.
Yeah, and they're, like, $50 a piece, but it's, like, okay, like, yeah, I know where this is going. You know.
Also, just a note, for anyone that started anime collections with Suncoast Video.
Mm.
Yeah.
Suncoast, I remember that.
Suncoast and Sam Goody, and I remember when they finally were liquidating all their stores when they closed everything, and Suncoast every day had a dip. So it was like the first day everything was 10% off, and then like a week later everything was 20, and they led up to when they closed, and everything was 95% off when they closed. So me and my friends were trying to like hide stuff in the store, and, you know, come back 6 weeks later and get it for the
bigger percentage. Did you successfully hide things?
A couple things, like most things were found because they were literally selling the shelving units, so there's like nowhere to hide anything. But there was this pile of like terrible like Christmas toys or something that we hid a bunch of like TV show box sets in, and then we came back in the last day and they were all still there.
So that's
we
awesome.
Got, like, the Sopranos for $9.99.
That's a deal.
The there good stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Number six. The man came back just in time. BioShock Infinite has been delayed again, but only for about a month. Originally slated for release in February, BioShock Infinite will now launch on PS3 and Xbox 360 on March 26th.
Gold Farms is slowly revealing his BioShock Infinite shirt.
Money hat.
I mean, it was originally scheduled for this year, right?
It was
and then
October.
Delayed once.
Yeah, October, yeah. Then February, then March. You can read, by the time this podcast is up, you'll be able to read a very long interview I did with Ken Levine, partially about the delay. That game plays really well, though. I mean, Charles and I played it last week. It's it's looking good. It does exist.
you just played it. I don't think we talked about it on Beyond, but
no, I think we're embargoed.
You,
right?
You and Charlie got a chance to go check that out.
And it's
LA,
living up to your expectations. You have lofty expectations. Would you say this is your game of the generation?
It could very well be. I mean, this game looks amazing. It's, oh my God. You're able to do everything they said you would do. Like, all those demos that looked like they were so scripted, and Skylines looked like they would never work, and Elizabeth seemed like she would be annoying. Like, all those mechanics actually work incredibly well. And the game runs. Like, the game is really polished and looks incredible, especially the PC version that Charles was playing. But, yeah, I played it on PS3. There was no stuttering. There was no pop-in. There were no, like, problems with it, which is rare for a PS3 game nowadays. But yeah, it was great. I'm super excited. Cool.
Excellent, man.
Then number 7, BioShock on Vita is still a possibility. Goldfarb, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, before you get too excited, it's not like they can say much. It basically, Ken Levine was saying that it's in the hands of business people. It sounds like 2K is talking to Sony, and if they can make it happen, they will. But the part that I found interesting about what he told me was that he has a They have a good idea. They have an idea they really like, and this isn't just going to be like a remake of BioShock 1 or, you know, Infinite or anything like that. Like, he's making it sound like it's entirely new, whole new game from the ground up. He won't even say where it's set, so who even knows if it's Columbia or whatever.
I found it all to be a bit annoying. I read your news story, and it was, it's in the hands of the business people. We have a great idea. Like, he was basically getting around saying we have not made this game. There's nothing happening with this game.
We announced game, it, but it doesn't exist.
Exactly. It's been nearly a year since they announced it at E3.
Well over a year, yeah. Because it was E3 2011.
Was it?
So it's been
no. A wow, really? Yeah. Shit. Fuck me. I thought it was this past year when they announced the price and everything for Vita. Really?
No, it was 2 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, wow, okay. Sure. Then, yeah, what the fuck, Ken Levine? and it's not even, I know that it's just, that was how the business works. They're doing this, and he probably wants to focus one game at a time anyway, but to see him come out and the first thing he says, ooh, it's in the hands of the business people. It's like, oh my God, we're never getting
it. The way I took it was, like, he's just being honest. I mean, because we asked him about a Wii U version of Infinite 2, and it's the same thing. Like, he said the more the merrier. They want to be on every platform possible. They would love to be making these games, but it's like, if 2K doesn't give them money and won't promise them that they'll publish it, and if Sony, can't back it with marketing, like, it's not going to happen,
Yeah.
Like, I think it really does come down to, like, the hands of the business people. And I would love a BioShock game on Vita, but, it definitely is coming, even in 2013, I would say. Like,
no.
That is a long way off.
I agree. That's sad.
Yeah.
You guys want to stop drawing your goddamn doodles?
No, this is hilarious.
All right.
What do you guys
They're
drawing?
Doodling over there. Is that all the Roper Report?
It was 7 items, so I would say yes. That's it.
Colin, that was a good Roper Report.
Thank you.
I had some fun with you today.
Good work,
Colin. I want you to know that. Colin.
Not with me, though.
BioShock Infinite /Vita /2/1 is never coming to the Vita. So there's no, and even if it is, it's not coming for, like, I have to go into cryogenic sleep. If I wanted to walk into a store right now and know what games are on the shelf, where would I go?
Something else.
That was a good one.
That was good. The original IGN list of the original. The official IGN list of PlayStation Software on all three platforms by the IGN editors.
Boo 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 boo.
Nice go far.
I like when you give me the cue.
No, yeah. No retail games this week.
No retail.
Oh, no, that's not true. Welcome to the game.
That wasn't on the drop. So, too fucking bad.
So no it retail didn't come games out.
On PSN, Big Sky Infinity, Black Knight Sword, Ben 10 Omniverse.
Oh,
Judge
Ben
D,
10 games.
The City of God case.
You got some fun game titles this week.
Judge D, the City of God case.
Is that Judge Dredd?
It is not Judge Dredd.
And Mix Superstar.
Mm.
Greg will work on Big Sky. I've been playing Black Knight. We probably won't review anything else. For Vita, Big Sky Infinity will also come out. So Greg's on that. PS2 Classic, big one. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Yeah.
My God.
Put some trophies on that. Put on the Vita.
And demos, Big Sky Infinity, Black Knight Sword, and Mix Superstar.
You have to wonder if they'll finally do Vice City for PS2, since it's coming to iOS, and it's about to be the anniversary. Like,
yeah, 3's out in San Andreas, but the game in the middle, the best one of them all, is not out, so I don't know what the deal is.
Ryan, would you like the description of Judge D, the City God case?
I would really love
Judge
it.
D, the City God case. Judge D, the newly appointed magistrate of Yai Wang Prefect, travels to an isolated town in his new jurisdiction to find that the mayor's son has fallen unconscious and became deathly ill. Suspecting foul play, Judge D starts investigating. Help him uncover the truth behind the town's dark secret, its corrupt officials, and the true case of the mysterious illness in this beautiful hidden object adventure game.
Oh, it is. That's crazy. I was just going to say, it sounds like a point-and-click adventure game.
Yeah.
Hidden object adventure.
So
that's scintillating
there
gameplay.
There you go.
I have to say, you lean back and your stomach's looking thinner. You do look like you lost some weight, I would say.
Damn, I'm in the 175
little,
region.
Yeah.
I think you're looking good.
There it is.
It's slim.
Colin is shaking his
but
tummy.
It's less of a solid mass. It seems like
it's less of a solid mass.
It's giving a little bit.
That was like an angry shake. That was an angry shake of the stomach.
I can't look away.
It's what the truffle shuffle, I believe they call them.
Yeah,
truffle
shuffle. Yeah. Let's check in with the sponsor. What do you say?
Okay.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible, a provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 titles to choose from. For listeners of Beyond, Audible is offering a free audiobook download when you sign up for a free 30-day trial. If you're not already quoting from it every day, may we suggest checking out Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. It's like The Matrix mixed with video games, Star Wars, and transforming Japanese robots. And we love it. To get started, head to audiblepodcast.com/podcastbeyond and follow the instructions to get your free audiobook. On with the show.
All right, and back. What a good sponsor. That sponsor is Audible. As read by Naomi Kyle.
I didn't even know. Is that what the actual...
Yeah, you get a free book.
Oh, okay.
I've done it from This American Life. I highly recommend it.
Interesting.
You read some 50 Shades of Grey.
Someone reads it to me in a scintillating voice. I don't read nothing.
Is it a male or a female voice?
I don't read
Well, it depends
nothing.
On the book. I don't... Yeah, come on, Colin. You know, I make Colin read my emails to me. what do you say we do a topic of the week? We haven't done one of those in a while.
Is it The Last of Us?
It is not. We've already talked about The Last of Us. You missed it. Instead, we're going to talk about PlayStation Platform 2013, the Game of the Year rundown voting.
Okay.
We have, of course, announced our official nominees for Game of the Year for all of IGN. And also
2012.
Okay. Platform specific as well. So what we have here are the ballots. If you haven't checked out IGN, maybe you don't know what's up for all these things. We're going to read through them, give you some thoughts and opinions here. Winners aren't announced for a couple of weeks.
Should we say who each of us picks, or is that going to be too obvious? Since only two of us actually voted on this, right?
Well, yeah, Colin and I hashed it out, I think. So we shouldn't, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, we already know the winners, huh? So just keep reading IGN. It'll be around soon. But we can all talk about it. We can pick... How about what if we pick different... We'll just talk about the games. How about that?
But we could all pick who our winner is, and no one necessarily...
But then we show that these two don't matter, and
yeah.
Nobody cares
just,
about
we
them.
We can just talk about the little things.
Well, we're not on the I don't give a flying fuck. I'll just reveal one. I don't care. Game of the Year for PlayStation 3, DC Universe Online. All right, done. Don't even need to worry about it.
Did it come out this year?
It did not.
It's
been out quite a while. All right, so best PlayStation 3 action game. Your nominees are Dishonored, Sleeping Dogs, Tokyo Jungle, Lego Batman 2, Spec Ops The Line.
It's a good list of games.
It is a good list of games.
Tokyo Jungle got on there.
I'm so behind on everything. I only got to play two of those. So. I really want to play Sleeping Dogs, but I haven't.
Sleeping Dogs is excellent.
Sleeping Dogs is really good. I enjoy Sleeping Dogs. It's one of those games I won't get back to, though. I know.
Winner, Sleeping Dogs.
I don't know if that's 1-1. But I can't remember. I specifically went through and unhighlighted the winners, so I wouldn't run into this exact problem.
So you're like, Tokyo Jungle, Dishonored.
Sleeping Dogs! Everyone's favorite.
I think it's easy to underestimate Lego Batman 2, but that game...
Lego Batman 2 is awesome.
The best Lego game by far.
Yeah.
That game is so fun.
Another game I want to get back to platinuming, but it probably never will. Yep. And I think my save got eaten when the Sopranos killed my PS3.
A big game over there.
I'm never going to.
I got to the point where you're in the open world as Superman, and then I was just done. I was just flying around doing
shit. Yeah, yeah. All right, so best PS3 fighting game. PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, Persona 4 Arena, Street Fighter Cross Tekken, Marvel vs. Capcom Origins, UFC Undisputed 3.
It's funny.
I wonder what won that one.
I do too.
Funny how there's one game on there that I couldn't be less interested
UFC Undisputed
in.
3.
Yeah, I will. It's like I can think that I will never play that game for my entire rest of my time on Earth.
Yeah, that's true.
Street Fighter Cross Tekken didn't do it for me either. I don't know, I'm terrible, really just terrible at fighting games, but I tried to play a few of them this year.
I think that's the strength for All-Stars, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Is the fact that it's an accessible fighter that anybody can play, whereas you don't have to get to, like, Persona 4 Arena, I tried to play with Vince once, and I was like, I know.
Yeah,
I don't know what that was
called. I mean, say it's great.
No, we get that. All right, racing game. Need for Speed Most Wanted, Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed, F1 2012. You've played a lot of Need for Speed, didn't you?
I played a lot of Need.
I just started playing Vita version of it like 2 nights ago.
Really easy in that game.
Yeah, that's my kind of shit.
Need for Speed's great. Sonic is actually really fun.
I need to get back to Sonic. I do like that.
But yeah, for me, it's Need for Speed. That game's awesome.
All right.
That is an amazing open world game on Vita. For anyone who hasn't tried the Vita version, it sacrifices some of the visual stuff of the console version, which looks better. But
obviously.
Man, on Vita, that game is awesome. It's the full open world map. Like, you can drive around for hours, and just even without doing any, like, races, if you're just driving around, you're unlocking trophies as you're going, and it just, I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm, okay. I'm looking forward to playing more of that. Best PS3 role-playing game, Mass Effect 3, Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, XCOM Enemy Unknown, Rainbow Moon, Dragon's Dogma.
Rainbow Moon. Rainbow Moon. Second last one.
Yeah. That's a good category. That's a category chock full of great games right there. People need to play. More people need to play Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
And Rainbow Moon. God.
And Rainbow Moon. But
Rainbow
especially.
Come to Vita?
No, next year.
Okay. Every time I think about Kingdoms of Amalur.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Every time I think about Kingdoms of Amalur, I get that Kingdoms of Amalur twitch.
Yep, you want to go play?
I just want to go
play. I was thinking about
it.
That the other day.
Want to go? And I'm so angry that when I, long story short, I lost my like 30, 40 hour save file due to some, when I was putting in a new hard drive into my computer.
Yeah.
Oh, on your PC?
So, on my PCs. Same thing if I replace the hard drive on a PS3.
Why
don't
you send it to the cloud, though?
Yeah.
Exactly. Got you there.
I mean, I could have
done...
These
things happen.
I could have done a lot of things. I could have done a lot of things, Kyle. Like, I could have just put a USB stick in and made a copy. It wasn't that hard, but I somehow forgot.
And Diablo 3 is coming to console in 2013.
I mean, I will just say that I've already played 80 hours of Diablo 3. I've gotten my fill. You can have...
You don't have that platinum trophy, though.
You can have my sloppy seconds.
Oh, jeez. Surprised no Borderlands 2 on the list. Do you consider that more of a shooter than RPGs?
Best PS3 shooter, Borderlands 2, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Far Cry 3. Another good...
Far Cry. I finally got a copy.
Another good category.
Borderlands 2, Call of Duty Black Ops 2... And Far Cry 3.
Is that how it went? I don't even remember that one.
No.
All right. Anyways, I think that's another great category. I loved all three of those games.
Far Cry 3 is perfect.
I cannot wait to... I still have to play Far Cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive into Far Cry. Like I said, I have a copy as of today, so I'm going to go home.
I beat it over the weekend.
How are the trophies?
Enjoyable. Trophies are enjoyable as well. Dude, don't do what I did. I kind of painted myself in a corner. Colin and I were talking about trying to platinum it over the break. But there's a bunch of, like, jump off a zipline and take out an enemy and do this to an enemy. Well, and I kind of cleared the whole island before I did this.
They call that the Mafia, or not Mafia, Godfather 2 conundrum. Mm-hmm.
You get rid of all the bad guys. Infamous had that problem, too.
I'm one trophy away from the platinum in Godfather 2, and I killed everyone.
Yeah.
So I can't do it.
So there's not an unlimited number of enemies?
Why can't you just start a new file and get your last trophy?
Because you don't have... You would have to play it, like, 15 hours or 20 hours. I'm not doing that. Godfather 2 was fun.
Clements, you're the only one allowed to speak on this subject. Okay. Best PS3 sports game. Okay. Madden NFL 13, right. NHL 13, FIFA 13, MLB 13 the show. But isn't that MLB 12 the show? I think I misprinted that one. And NBA 2K13.
Okay. Well, look, it's been a great year for 13s. And I just think that every one of them just had a great
Like Final Fantasy 13 too as well.
Yeah, like 13 too. I would just say that when it comes to the sports, it's a lot of sports, man.
Well said.
Thank you.
Did we not nominate 13-2 in any RPG category on any platform?
I don't think so.
Not on ours.
I don't know if there was a whoops for that. Best PS3 graphics, Journey, Dyad, Assassin's Creed 3, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, The Unfinished Swan.
Dyad?
Yeah.
All right.
Acid trippy, man. It's beautiful.
I mean, it's just a big seizure.
Journey is obviously so stylistic and amazing.
Yeah.
Obviously, when we're talking about, like, overall stuff, you can look at something like Halo 4 and then compare it to Journey, and obviously, like, your gut is going to go with the huge production value and the huge, like, pretty CGI game.
Not at all.
Journey looks fucking amazing.
Halo 4 gets way too much credit for looking good. And I've beaten Halo 4, and I had a great time with Halo 4 and everything else. But, like, and this is my problem with the whole space opera bullshit, is that I'm just walking into a made-up room that's all made up and looks like it's got good colors. Now, don't get me wrong, the CG cutscenes are, like, jaw-dropping.
The people, yeah.
Like, I've mystified Colin. I've said something stupid. What?
You walk into a made-up room where everything is made up.
Yep. You go
it's
in these
video.
You go in these space. You go in. This is the same problem with the Citadel in Mass Effect 1. Just walking around like, well, whatever. We can just put over the fuck we want in here. It doesn't matter. There's no frame of reference.
Like that Resistance or Killzone as well.
No, those are based on real places. At some point, they were going from some kind of reality. Not that I'm just on this fucking dumbass planet with this dumbass alien ship and shit, okay. And I'm walking into this temple thing and like, oh, now the ground's made of pure light, and I got Snaggletooth over there coming out of a fire. Ball, he's gonna talk to me. Great. Get this shit off the screen.
What game is that?
This is Halo 4. This is Halo 4. You play Halo 4.
Snaggletooth in the fire?
Yeah, go ahead.
Goddamn fireball.
When nobody was paying attention, they put a Mass Effect villain in Halo 4 and he comes out of this ball of fire and he's just
Snaggletooth the Mass Effect villain?
Yeah.
Snaggletooth's also in Star Wars.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll leave that one to you. I'll leave that one to you. Halo 4, beautiful game, beautiful cutscenes. The cutscenes are amazing. But overall, no way.
Journey's amazing.
You think that it looks sterile?
Yes.
Okay, that I understand. That's the way I feel about Killzone.
Okay. Yeah, I can see it.
Still a beautiful game.
Made up room. Everything's made up.
In this hey, you know what? Somebody's got to call it.
I don't know if you realized in the 25 years you've been playing video games, but video games are all about made up rooms with made up shit in them. It's binary.
Every game. Oh, yeah, that's just like your opinion, all right? Ghostbusters on the Sega Master System was based on New York, so that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say about how that game would be. Best PS3 sound, Journey, Sleeping Dogs, Sound Shapes, Spec Ops The Line, Assassin's Creed 3. Another interesting round. A lot of good games this year.
I mean, yeah. Sound doesn't mean music, right? That's separate.
Sure, you can break it down however you want. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think there's a separate category for music, no. But sound is music and voice acting and everything else. I think that's one of the main reasons Sleeping Dogs get such a good nod.
So for me, if it does include music, it's Journey. If it just means like ambient sound and sound design and stuff, that's harder.
Okay.
Halo 4.
Best PS3 story, The Walking Dead, Journey, Sleeping Dogs, Spec Ops The Line, The Unfinished Swan.
So I had an interesting debate with Rich George about this category.
Okay.
Because he was like, why is Journey nominated for story? And it's like, there's no experience category, you know? By story, you mean like what you're experiencing as you go through the game, like what the game is presenting to you. And in that way, Journey, again, for me.
Sure.
Journey's a really good game.
Journey's a great game. I think they all are, though, right? Like, that's the whole thing.
I would also argue, though, that the story that is told in Journey is just as, meaningful and impactful and worthy of a nod as any of those other stories.
It might be simple.
Yeah, it might be simple.
It's what you bring to the table.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing about Journey. Journey is giving you kind of the broad strokes that you fill in for as you're playing, basically. You know, and, like, as I was playing that game for the first time, like
just crying,
my
constantly.
Sobbing openly. So you know the usual. It was the story for me was more about like my companion and like the person I was with and how like when I couldn't see them for even a minute I would like flip out and like try and find them immediately.
That's so nuts. The way I felt too. That was my story. It was a story of sadness, a story of sorrow. It's a story of the journey of death, really, for me. I mean, but that's not necessarily what the game's about. And I won't play it again. I mean that. I will not play that game one more time. I played it once, and that's it. And it was beautiful, and the law of diminishing returns will certainly kick in, and I will start seeing it as something different. But I remember the way that game felt. It was a wonderful 2 hours, 2.5 hours of my life.
I went back and 100%ed that game for trophies, and I loved it more each time. Like, for me, it was like, obviously that first experience is like an untarnished, amazing thing. But like going back, like now I have like the white robes or whatever. So I have like the longer scarf that regenerates, and I'll go back and play the summit sometimes and just help people up. Cause like I regenerate, in that snow level at the end, people can't regenerate their scarf without touching another player. And it's awesome. Like it feels really good. I love that game.
Mm-hmm. Best PS3 multiplayer game, PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, Borderlands 2, Starhawk, Twisted Metal, FIFA 13.
Oh, Twisted Metal.
Remember Twisted Metal? You reviewed it. Yeah. Why'd you do that face?
No, I just I can't believe that was this year. It feels like so long ago.
Yeah, that feels like a million years ago. Yeah. That was before
Twisted Metal had a great, great multiplayer package.
We sat around and played it here at the office. Good times.
Borderlands 2 multiplayer is really cool. Seamless and great. Mm-hmm.
Borderlands
All-Stars is obviously really cool across platform.
Borderlands is no such legend.
Borderlands is such legend. I love Borderlands 2 so much.
What game is that about?
I don't know. It doesn't even matter at this point.
Best PlayStation Network game, The Walking Dead, Journey, The Unfinished Swan, Closure, Tokyo Jungle.
Now, I got to be honest with you about this, and I'm just because we're candid with our readers.
Again, you're behind the scenes, ladies and gentlemen. If you missed that last Podcast Beyond, there's the outfacing IGN wall you see, but then when you come listen to Podcast Beyond, you're behind the wall back here where we make decisions and talk about the games where we're still reviewing.
I'll say right now, I don't like this category, and not the games in it. I don't like that we're differentiating between PSN games and retail games, and I guarantee you if Greg and I are still on the PlayStation channel next year, and I'm sure we will be, that this will be gone.
One thing I'll tell you right now is I've been at IGN long enough never to guarantee anything. So
guarantee it. Not gonna be on PSN.
It's one of those things I see it both ways. The argument, of course, fair reader, is that there is no more wall between what's a digital. Oh, that's a digital game. Oh, that's a retail game. The retail game's obviously going to be better. I think it's just one of those things. It's a way to give more. For argument's sake, next category is PS3 Game of the Year: Borderlands 2, Journey, The Unfinished Swan, Mass Effect 3, Walking Dead. So you have three games on the best PSN list now on the Game of the Year list. But Closure and Tokyo Jungle wouldn't have gotten those. They wouldn't be in the conversation for Game of the Year.
for PS3. They shouldn't be in the conversation for the game of the year.
True. Yeah. But then it's just different categories. I mean, it's just do we want more categories or less categories is what it comes down to.
I just burped into the microphone a little bit. I think that what is going to happen here and what's already happening is that the strata of games are blurring. The lines are blurring. And we have a situation where, you know, a game like Journey, a game like The Unfinished Swan, and a game like The Walking Dead are better games than almost everything that you paid $60 for this year.
Yeah.
Like, hands down. You know, you paid $10 for each of those games, or $25 for The Walking Dead. And I think that by pigeonholing the PSN games as PSN games and then pigeonholing, we had this conversation very openly at work here, and then having the Game of the Year games as being like retail and a mixture, it's just like, well, shouldn't we then have the retail games of the year? Because actually the PSN games are actually getting another chance to win an award where the retail games you pay $60 for aren't being, you know, given that chance. And I just think that it doesn't matter.
I agree with you that this would seem to be the last year for the PSN category / Xbox Live category. I mean, PC doesn't do it, right? It's like, oh, here's your downloadable one.
Yeah, all PC Charles, games are downloadable.
Charles went on
he tweeted that.
Like a not a Twitter rant this weekend, but he made a few posts about it this weekend, how like that line isn't there anymore at all. Like every game, like Skyrim is a downloadable game on PC. Like,
yeah, and I mean, it's even happening on consoles. I mean, Mass Effect 3 is a downloadable game.
All-Stars downloadable.
Yeah, PlayStation All-Stars. So it's like, that category to me.
Family Guy Back to the Multiverse downloadable.
It is. I want to play that. I'm going to play that with my girlfriend when she comes to visit next week.
Friend.
She's in
from. She doesn't know anything about video games.
She's finally back from Canada. You've never seen her before, but I swear she's only going to be here when you're sleeping.
She's getting off the boat from Russia.
Oh, she's coming over from the east coast of Russia.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's interesting. No one lives over there.
It's very warm over there this time of year.
I don't know. I just want to get rid of that category. I just don't feel like it makes any sense. Sure. I think it goes against the prevailing wind, a significant prevailing wind, that it just doesn't matter anymore. Whether you pay $5 or $60 for a game on PlayStation 4 this time next year, they will all be downloadable. Take it to the bank.
Take it to the bank.
Take it to the bank.
Take it to the bridge.
That's the other thing, by the way. Next year, when we vote, you and I, this time next year, we will have best PS3 game, best Vita game,
best Orbis game,
and best Orbis game.
Yeah.
Woo!
And as I predicted on Twitter last night, the winner will be Patapon. The Patapon Orbis that they've been sitting on. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, why isn't there a Patapon Vita? Because they're sitting on it for the Orbis.
Greg,
cross-platform, cross-buy, up to the cloud.
If there is a Patapon game on PlayStation Vita, or PlayStation Orbis, not Vita, it's possible. If there is a Patapon game in 2013 on PlayStation Orbis, I will bring you out to dinner wherever you want to go.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Anywhere.
McDonald's.
Funny story. I expensed my McDonald's receipt from our trip to see God of War and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I found myself going, that was a good meal. I could go for some more McDonald's.
It is a good meal. Yeah. It's a fine meal.
Yeah, it's a fine meal.
At the airport, so when I traveled with Colin earlier this year, right before we got on our flight, he ran to McDonald's and then ran back and got on that.
Yeah, I time it.
And so I wanted, when Charles and I were flying back from the BioShock event, it was really early. Our flight was at 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And there was a McDonald's in there. And I was like, Charles, I'm thinking about running and getting some McDonald's breakfast. And Charles gave me the most disgusted look anyone has ever given me. He didn't approve of that idea at all. So,
well, he's wrong. McDonald's breakfast is awesome.
Yeah, that's egg McMuffin.
McDonald's.
And dude, years ago, like 4 or 5 years ago, I read something where McDonald's was like looking into retrofitting their
McDonald's their restaurants, yeah.
So they can do breakfast all day because they use the same machinery or whatever for both. And I guess it never happened, but I was like really excited about that. Because
sure.
Imagine getting hotcakes.
Dude, I would go there. I would go get breakfast for lunch.
Okay. Please, Mitchell Morgan, please add that to the soundboard. The next soundboard I think. Can you imagine hotcakes? It's rare that the soundbite happens and we're all like, yes, that is a real...
That is a soundbite if I ever heard one. Oh my goodness.
Okay, and then PS3 Game of the Year, Borderlands 2, Journey, The Unfinished Swan, Mass Effect 3, The Walking Dead. Another category packed with amazing games.
Yeah, that's our...
I'm sorry. It's just that it sounded... I thought you were going to go do your typical woo!
No,
like a
like,
downward.
Like, woo!
That was the high-pitched woo you don't hear much from Colin Moriarty.
I love hotcakes at McDonald's.
Apparently.
There's a big smile on my face.
You should tweet at them so they send us some.
They're not going to send us shit. They're going to send us fucking hotcakes?
They sent me... I tweeted them and they sent me that Superboy figure I needed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's that chick on there that Jim Riley liked.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, didn't they send Jim like a gift card or something?
Yeah. And heads up, everybody! Congratulations to Jim Riley for quitting the games media biz. If you haven't been paying attention, Jim Riley.
What?
Jim Riley used to work at IGN as our news hound. You knew him, Info Boy, Podcast Beyond contributor.
Oh boy. And then he stepped on his grave.
Yeah. He went to Game Informer and did news for them for about a year, and then last week he tweeted that he is that was his final Friday at Game Informer, and he's leaving the games media business. He has not announced where he's going or what's next for him, but he says it's something. So
that's like a huge loss for our industry. Like,
I know the suits.
Out of Jim Riley.
And Jim's awesome. Jim
he's
is
gonna do something amazing.
Jim is awesome. We love you, Jim.
He's gonna go work for From Software.
Yeah, is that what he's doing?
Dark Souls 2.
All right, let's get through the rest of these guys here. Now we're into the Vitas. Best Vita action game: Little Big Planet PS Vita, Uncharted Golden Abyss, Rayman Origins, Gravity Rush, Metal Gear Solid HD Collection.
Greg, did you mention Little Big Planet Vita?
I did.
Man, I'll tell you what, there is a Beyond listener named Jordan who has been tweeting at me, the most patient guy ever, has been tweeting at me for weeks, just wanting to let the Beyond community know that he made a Beyond level in Little Big Planet Vita. It's called To Insanity and Beyond.
Yeah.
And this is by Level Up Jordan is his PSN. Jordan, you have finally been given your plug. I hope that countless folks rain upon your level like the sands of winter.
What?
I don't know.
The sands of winter.
Yeah.
That rain
it's
down.
Actually, well, yeah, because it's, I think I was, that might be from the Killzone opening, but I'm not sure.
I believe it.
Yeah. So, by the way, do you know Alex Childs?
Yes.
Former roommate and also a another member of the IGN family. Mm. Not in editorial department, though. He'd never played Killzone 2. And he's kind of like has a fascination with history and politics, but especially like he finds dictatorships fascinating.
Oh, so you love Killzone.
Yeah. So I like was like, you got to watch the opening to Killzone 2 because it has like one of the coolest speeches ever by like a dictator, like a fictional dictator. And I showed it to him and it was just like he was quoting me like he would like quote to me that speech for weeks afterwards. He loved
who
it
gives
so
a speech
much. No, that was Vasari.
Vasari opens it.
Generations yet unborn will cry out in anguish.
There's
so good.
There's serious Nazi overtones in Killzone for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. I crossed off a bunch of categories here so we can steamroll through this guy a little bit quicker.
No one has a Vita anyway.
Best Vita puzzle game. Lumines, Electronic Symphony, Dakuro, Plants vs. Zombies, Escape Plan, Smart As.
Plants vs. Zombies is so unfair, though.
Is it, or is the fact that it is just Plants vs. Zombie work against it? You'll find out when we post this list.
Is it a puzzle game, though? I wouldn't have called it a puzzle game.
We don't have well, we don't have a million categories, so what would you...
We don't have the tower defense category.
I would call it strategy
game. For me, it's Lumines.
Well, we don't have a strategy category, so stick your dick in a loutlet, all right?
I don't got any loutlets to put my dick into.
Define that word.
All right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, for me, Lumines was my Vita at first. Like that was all I played at the beginning of the Vita's North American life. So
okay. Best Vita graphics: Uncharted Golden Abyss, Sound Shapes, Lumines Electronic Symphony, Escape Plan, A Little Big Planet, PS Vita.
Still Uncharted. You know, it's still...
Uncharted's a beautiful game.
Uncharted, you know, as much as people complain about some of the gimmicky touch stuff, like, that game is the realization of the portable I've always wanted, which is that, like, it looks as good as Uncharted 1.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that is something I can carry around with me.
Yeah, I heard you and Altano talking shit about the touch games over there. I liked some of them. I liked charcoal rubbing. No. I liked making the posters and moving stuff.
So that's what I was saying to Altano, is that, like, the subtle motion controls when you're balancing don't bother me, and, like, even the rubbing the charcoal thing isn't that big of a deal, but, like, the rotating the weapons using the back touch
and holding
up to a light, that's the stuff I don't like.
All right, I can get down with that. Best Vita story: Zero Escape, Virtue's Last Reward, Uncharted Golden Abyss, Gravity Rush, Dakuro, Persona 4 Golden.
Persona 4 Golden. Dakuro. Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Persona's story hooked me so quickly.
Yeah. You love those high school dramas.
I do.
New kid in the little city.
Watching Degrassi High on Netflix over there.
A couple episodes of Gossip Girl.
What do you got? What do you got for me, Clemens? It's on the tip of your tongue.
Yeah,
I can see.
On the tip of my tongue for a while. I was just wondering who played Virtue's Last Reward, because that's really interesting.
I did.
Okay, did you like it?
I like it all right, yeah.
All right.
I'm not like super...
All right. Game of the Year nominee.
Best story.
That's what I'm saying.
Mike Mitchell
not game of the year.
In the game of the year
It's not in
award.
The game of the year overall.
Okay. I'm just saying, aren't these awards called game of the year?
No, they're best of. Best of 2012.
There you go.
Okay.
Game of the Year is one of the awards.
Mike Mitchell loves it. Mike Mitchell loved it.
Yeah. Ryan Hess started tweeting about it back and forth all day and all night.
Yeah.
Virtue's Last Reward?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best Vita multiplayer game: Little Big Planet PS Vita, Battle Royale, Unit 13, Lumines Electronic Symphony, MLB 12 The Show. Good stuff there.
All Stars.
You look like Jordy LaForge.
And Vita Game of the Year, Vita Game of the Year, Little Big Planet, PS Vita, Persona 4 Gold, and Sound Shapes, Super Stardust Delta, Uncharted, Golden Abyss.
Oof. I'm actually really curious to see what you went with on this.
Yeah.
For me, like,
what do you predict?
I'm in the middle of Persona right now, and I love it. So, like, I want, my gut is to say Persona, but I still really feel like Little Big Planet is the killer app for Vita. I don't know. That's hard for me.
What do you say, Clements?
I mean, I just haven't, I haven't had a chance to play Persona yet, and that was something that I'm really excited about.
Okay.
So old I will reserve old. My old I will reserve my old. Judgment.
Let's check in with listeners.
Hey, listener.
Remember, if you want to be part of the show, beyond@IGN.com, just beyond. Like Graham Carney did. Hey, guys, I just wanted some advice. I've decided to go to college and do journalism. My dream job is to become an editor at IGN. Any tips on my journey? Is going into journalism the right thing / necessary? Will doing journalism give me an edge over other writers on my resume, or does the content of your writing matter more than what you studied? Because I know Colin did not study journalism. Any advanced advice would really help me out. Thanks, guys. Keep up the excellent work. Graham, everyone at IGN has a different story on how they got here. I have a journalism degree. Clements has an English degree. Mm-hmm. Colin has a history degree. Goldfarb has a degree in hard knocks. That's how it works out. I don't even know what your degree is. What is your degree?
English.
Acting?
I was double of English and film studies.
Okay. The most important thing is, if you want to write, and now more than ever, obviously you need to be on videos and podcasts and stuff like that. Start doing it now. Start your own YouTube channel. Start doing video talks to the camera where you start working on your voice. You're comfortable in front of the camera. And then, write for a blog, whether it be on MyIGN or start freelancing for someone or join up with other people. But be writing so that you're stretching your muscles and getting out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at first, even if you're, to start, just be writing everywhere on blogs, talking to people, do what you can. But eventually, start to try freelancing because once you're getting paid to write and have resume entries, I think you can be taken more seriously as you're applying to a real job.
I think you
stay straight writing.
I think you can summarize the best way to get into the industry is to be a personable, well-informed, polished writer. In terms of editorial, that's all you need. And I know that's a lot, but I'm saying that those kind of core tenets are what you need.
Okay. Frank from Eastern Illinois University writes in, what is your worst gaming-related memory? I figured I'd ask before I share my story. For my 16th birthday, July 25th, 2007, besides a driver's license, I got a 60-gigabyte PlayStation 3, which was the best 3 years of DualShockless memories that I've had. Then, July 10th, 2010, while playing the split-second demo, green blobs and splotches appeared all over my screen. Turned out it was overheated. Saves lost. Warranty expired. I sold it to GameStop and then dropped a cool $413 of a struggling college student money on a new Slim for self-bought present. Less than a year later, July 2011, while I was going to play NBA 2K11, it decided to not turn on. Luckily, it was still under warranty, and I was able to send it to Sony for free. Saves lost again. Safe to say, I will never let my PS Plus expire. What's your story?
Wow. Two PlayStations that he's gone through.
That's bad news.
That is rough. Is this Frank?
This is Frank from Eastern Illinois University.
Man, I'm sorry.
Mine is a tale of woe involving, I'll say, NHL 02, but I'm not firm on that at all. That's a loose number. It's one of the early aught NHLs. Poe and I, my best friend back in high school, college life right now, we were playing, we would get together and do these giant seasons and stuff, so, because we were just huge fucking losers, and that's all we would do. So we were in the basement playing, and it was season 6 or whatever. We play every game in these fucking things. It's insane. And this was the first year they introduced the hot and cold streaks, so players, your goalie are hot, blah, blah, blah. And we'd switch the controller back and forth and watch each other play our games or whatever. And I was the Hawks, and so he switched it back to me, and I was playing, and it was summertime, we were home from college, and this thunderstorm rolled into town as it was happening, and we lost power all the time. So I finished the game, everyone's on a hot streak, we're going into the playoffs, we're going into game one of the playoffs, I'm so psyched, everything's clicking, and it's a great thing, and it's literally the lights start flickering in the house, oh no, and so I'm hitting the save button, and it's like a movie where the progress bar is filling in, and it gets to 96, and the power goes out, and when it came back on, everything was lost, and it wasn't corrupt, thank God, but everything was lost, and so I just simulated the game to get us going, and everybody was cold, we got fucking blown out, swept in the series.
No, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Still haunts me.
So are these memories supposed to be when things go wrong, or can they be we've really not enjoyed?
Your worst gaming related memory.
Okay.
A broad umbrella for you to get underneath.
All right.
You got anything?
I want to stay dry. I have a lot of bad gaming memories.
Give me one.
You know, obviously fewer than good ones, but also Goldfarb just passed an adorable little thing to Colin. That's just the cutest.
It looks like a tape. It's wadded up tape.
It's a little tape, man.
It says it's a tape bunny. It says Happy Easter on it.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it's a tape bunny. Look at that.
I'll take a picture of that, put it on the podcast.
Adorable. Okay. So I still remember, in terms of during my professional career, I still remember it was in the old Brisbane office. Yep. You guys remember that
I
office?
Do remember the old Brisbane office.
And I was assigned to, I think the game was called like R-Type Command or something like that. It was a PSP game. I forgot exactly the title, but it was
an IRM jump off. Huh?
It was in the R-Type universe, but it was like a tile-based strategy game. And I remember that it was about 3:45 in the morning, and I was still in the office trying to desperately, with almost like tears in my eyes, get through this game so I could write up the review. Because, you know, Lord knows everybody was waiting for the R-Type yeah. Command PSP review. And like at one point, I just like kind of looked around. The office is, of course, empty and dark, and it's like a dark night in Brisbane. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I didn't even know what was going on, so I was totally miserable that night. That review probably didn't even go up then. I think I wrote it, and I was so exhausted that I went back and reread the like beginning, and I was like, this is complete garbage. This doesn't make any sense.
Colin, what do you got for me?
Did I ever tell you the story about my dad dated this woman in the early 90s for like a while?
A hot minute.
Was it your mom?
No, my parents got divorced in like 1990, 1991.
How old were you? You were like
I was like seven. Yeah. Right. And someone wrote in, by the way, said all the stories I tell are from when I was six or seven, which is true.
Formative years.
And so I'm like scarred scarred by those years. And so my dad was dating this nice woman. She had two kids. One of her daughter was actually my age, and they had a son that was younger or whatever. And we went to high school and we were friendly with each other and stuff.
Friendly.
No, not like that.
Yeah, buddy.
So I had a Super Nintendo, and I was playing Link to the Past, and which is, you know, one of the best games of all time. And I left my system on and paused the game. And I probably just got to Dark World. But, you know, like when you play like those games when you're a kid, you like beat them in a day, and then you beat them again, and then you beat them again. So I wasn't saving or doing anything like. And I just left. I paused it, and I just went to my friend's house.
Yeah.
And like we were playing G.I. Joe's over, and then I came back. And the game was off. The cartridge was like removed from the Super Nintendo, and like Mario World or something was in it. And like my dad's girlfriend's son was playing Super Mario World, whatever. And I fucking lost it.
Yeah,
I fucking lost it. And I still remember to this day, like, why was it that big of a deal? Like, I could have done that again in a few hours. But I remember that like being such a scarring moment for me, where I was like, I like told on him, you know, with my dad, and got him in trouble, and like. Told me he was never allowed to play, like, you know, like 7 or 8 year old Colin be like, you never allowed to play my Super Nintendo ever again. And that was it. That's what came to mind when I was.
I would have loved to see 7 year old Colin.
Oh, he was on the trip.
7 year old Colin was nuts.
Earrings, tattoos. With the tattoos. Yeah, exactly. Just smaller.
No, 7 year old Colin was normal. I played hockey.
Same
I was
body
just a
shape.
Kid. Yeah, basically. I basically have never grown. No. That was all I did when I was a kid was play hockey and play video games, go to school. That was basically it.
Goldie, what do you got for me?
Oh my god, I guess it would probably be there's this kid named Ian Connolly, and my mom was a really good friend with his mom, and I would always end up at his house because his mom largely worked from home, and my parents were both working a lot, so like after school I would go home with him and then walk back, and I was constantly spending the night there, and one time and my parents were finally like, oh, like this weekend, like, invite Ian to the house, he can stay over. And so it was like my first sleepover after I had moved to Texas. And so this kid comes over, and I had been playing Banjo-Kazooie like obsessively. I had like almost a maxed out 100% save file. And this kid comes over. He'd been there for like 15 minutes. And we go up to my room, and we turn on the N64. And he didn't have a 64, so he was like trying to figure out what to do. And somehow in the menu options managed to delete my Banjo-Kazooie save. And I screamed and burst into tears, and he had to go home.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Were you still friends after that?
Yeah, I think we recovered after a little while.
Do you guys like how all your memories were like from much long ago? Yeah. I couldn't get that sentence out. This game is no
such thing. Here's what I'm interested in. Like, what this reminds me of is like our parents don't really have a point of view. Like when I was like, my, you know, I was in the Dark World, Dad, and like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And my dad's like, oh, get the fuck out of here. And like your parents probably like, what the hell is a maxed out save file? But like when if we have kids and like this kind of shit happens to them, like we'll understand. Well, no. Like they'll be like, I had almost 100%
and he deleted it. Get the fuck out of here! I'm calling your parents. I got my belt off. I'm swinging. He lost the Vita memory card.
I was so close to a platinum. I didn't sync my trophies. What?
Talking like that,
I told you always sync your trophies.
Wisp writes into beyond@IGN.com and says, Colin,
yes.
Side-scrolling Mega Man game with Street Fighters as Wily's robots, December 17th, revealed at Street Fighter 25th, Beyond.
I know. Thank you, Beyond.
I think, what do you want to give the world a rundown here of how elated you are and how crushed you are at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. So, all right, so to be honest, we knew about this for a while, and, you know, we couldn't say anything about it. The way it was described to me, I was kind of not excited about it. I'm like, okay, it's a Mega Man game with Street Fighter characters. All right. But then I saw it, and I was like, okay, this is cool because it's an 8-bit Mega Man game. So regardless of the fact that the Robot Masters aren't in it, which is disappointing, and Wily's, you know, presumably not in it. Maybe he is. When I saw the game being played and, like, what it plays like, I'm like, okay, like, I can get down with this because this is a classic 8-bit Mega Man game, but it's not what I want. The 25th anniversary of Mega Man is December 17th.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the original came to Famicom in 1987. And we need to have something better than this. This isn't acceptable.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping... Now, Capcom has, I think, said that there's more announcements on the 17th. They better have announcements that actually celebrate Mega Man and not, say, Street Fighter. And then I'll be pretty happy. I mean, it's there. They can do whatever they want, I guess. But I just don't understand how you can drop the ball like this. Like, if it was the 25th anniversary of Mega Man, you have to have... The gun's ready to go. You got to have Mega Man 11 ready to go. You got to have Mega Man X9. You got to have these things ready to go. What would be really cool is if they, both those games were revealed on the 17th. And that's what I'm hoping, you know, cross my fingers for.
What day of the week, 17th?
Monday.
Okay.
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt. No comments, real quick.
No problem. Touch me more, though, please.
Come on.
On the 17th, I will be reviewing Mega Man Cross Street Fighter, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah.
For the website.
You got to get it. There it is.
It's like we're praying.
All right, hold on. We're all holding hands right now. There, it's happening now. We're one giant circle. Okay.
Amen.
Amen. All right, this email.
Wait, I never got to do it.
You have nothing important to say.
I have, okay.
I'm fucking around. What do you got? You going to tell him about the PC drivers?
No.
What version of Colin, listen up. What version of DirectX does he need installed to actually play this when it comes out?
I know. Why is it on PC? For
all right, so, Kyle, I was just going to say the one thing that frustrated me about this, and I want to get your honest opinion, okay, is I just... felt like there was a slight towards Mega Man again, in the sense that the iconic opening of Mega Man 2 is how that trailer, the announcement trailer, starts, and like it's like scrolling up and you're like getting really jazzed, you're like, oh my god, is this like, you know, this is some celebration, and it, you know, the music starts, it's like da 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 da, and it shows Mega Man, his hair's blowing, and then he gets Hadoukened off the side of the building by Ryu. And it's like he falls to his death, and it's like Ryu's standing there, and he's like, ah, ah. I thought that was kind of insulting. I don't know. Yeah. That game's supposed to be a celebration of Mega Man. Why did Mega Man get shot in the back?
Isn't it also, by Ryu? We originally thought it was Mega Man Cross Street Fighter, but I believe it's Street Fighter Cross Mega Man. So Street Fighter does come first in that title, which is crazy.
Which are made up worlds with made up things in them. That's the problem.
I went to a made up room that's made up shit in it.
It'll be cool if it has controller support, because they have those NES controllers with like USB input, so that'd be cool.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, the disappointing thing is that I'm probably gonna have to play with an Xbox controller, which is horrifying to think.
The D-pad.
Why can't you?
That D-pad sucks.
We're gonna go find you one of those NES controllers and expensive.
Yeah, because I'm gonna beat the shit out of that game. You know it, but. The thing is that I'm a little disappointed. I hope they have something. Because the other thing about this game is I think it started as a fan project that Capcom adopted, which means they didn't even have anything ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is going on over there?
I feel like they just don't care about Mega
Man. I don't understand how they can't. Mega Man could be the biggest thing if they just put... Like, I want a Mega Man reboot. I want a game called Mega Man. I was talking about this with Rich George today. Reboot Mega Man. Call it Mega Man. Have it be a retelling of the original story from the original game. And have it be somewhat like a Zelda game, like a 3D game, where like instead of six stages, there's six dungeons, there's an open world. It's about these two scientists that used to work together. One of the scientists turns on the other scientist and turns all of their robots against them, except for one resists, you know, being turned. That's Mega Man. And then tell this really dark and gritty story about like, I think that'd be
the
really
gameplay, the Zelda style gameplay, like in Mega Man, though.
Yeah.
I would have liked that everything you just said, except it's like an HD hand-drawn, like, it's still side-scrolling.
So that's what Rich said, and I told him that the problem with this in the classic series is the same problem we had with Powered Up, which was that it doesn't feel like... Powered Up is great, but it doesn't feel like a real Mega Man game. So you can't... I think it's an insult to the memory of Mega Man, much like 7 and 8 were somewhat of an insult to the Mega Man series in the sense that like you can't recapture that 8-bit feel in the way they play. So you got to do something else. Mega Man X did something else, and it played like Mega Man X, and so we have this 16-bit feel. That's why I hope that if they do something that's new and crisp and hand-drawn and stuff, it's actually a Mega Man X game. I would take an 8-bit Mega Man game every year. So,
well, you're also a hardcore fan, though.
Yeah, but those games were both profitable. So there's plenty. There's a lot of us out there.
Okay.
All right, two final ones to close out the podcast here. Not questions so much as things. This one comes from Brett. Subject line, Cody from Step by Step. We talked about Cody from Step by Step last week, how he made headlines outside of the show by beating his wife. Mm-hmm. Brett writes in and says, per the source of all knowledge, Wikipedia, it says that Sasha Mitchell stated in court he was defending his kids from their drug-addicted, abusive mother. He also has custody. Just thought I'd share that beyond.
Interesting.
So thank you, Brett, for bringing more unsubstantiated information about this man to light.
See, something happened with Cody, though. When that all went down, wasn't he written out of the show then?
Sure.
Then
he comes back.
Yeah, he does. But there's like a Cody replacement. The friend, the best friend, like the idiot best friend of the oldest son.
Yeah.
Becomes like...
Really?
The Cody type character. Yeah. He's in like every episode, like later on.
What was Will Smith's friend's name in Fresh Prince?
Jazzy Jeff.
That's nice. That was also his
real life friend.
His real life DJ. Yeah,
they did some rapping together.
I love that so much.
But now all he does is star in M. Night Shyamalan movies with his son.
Written by Gary Whitta.
Is that true?
Yep.
I'm excited.
I really like M. Night
it's
Shyamalan.
It's funny. Me too. I saw that trailer. Like before I watched the trailer, I saw it was like new Shyamalan movie. By the way, I say it's the Indian way, not the English Shyamalan.
How do you say it?
Shyamalan. Oh yeah. So I know. I'll never.
It's Shyamalan.
Yeah, according to you.
According to Hollywood.
I think also right. he may even pronounce it that way too. I don't know, but he's not saying it right. He's got to say it the right
all
way.
All right.
All I was saying is that after you watched that trailer, it definitely got me jazzed.
Yeah,
look Jazzy good. Jeff. I was excited.
Got you, Jazzy Jeff.
Yep.
Best two M. Night movies. Signs,
The Village,
and The Village.
Signs, Unbreakable.
Yes, Unbreakable is kind of whack.
You're kind of whack.
No way.
Signs.
Yeah, awesome.
And The Village.
No.
The Village is.
They called me the Glass Man.
They called me Mr. Glass. Another great movie.
Bones of Glass.
One of the worst. One of the worst promoted movies you'll ever see, but an awesome movie. Oh, go God. Watch Unbreakable if you like comedy.
The problem with Unbreakable is the movie I really wanted to see starts in the last 5 minutes of that movie.
Sure. All right, and then finally, this isn't a question at all, but Emmett Watkins Jr. tweeted at me today. He's 18 today, and Emmett Watkins Jr. is a big old Podcast Beyond fan, tweeting a Game Over Greggy all the time there, so I want to give him a shout out. Send birthday wishes to Emmett at EJSponge61.
That easy known Twitter
EJ handle. EJSponge61. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to Podcast Beyond episode 270. We have had a lot of fun here today, but remember that what keeps the mics on, first off, is that ad you heard earlier. Thanks for not bitching about that too much, except the one guy on Twitter with Clements last night. And, of course, IGN.com.
And electricity.
And electricity. Go to IGN.com, watch our videos, read our articles, read our reviews, leave comments, be part of the conversation. Then continue the conversation on that social media. IGN is on Twitter at IGN. I'm Game Over Greggy. Pwam Cider is Ryan Clements, now known as Powerhouse. We got to change that Twitter handle again. Colin Moriarty.
Is Powerhouse?
It's got to be on lockdown. No taxation is Colin Moriarty. And Garfep, Greg always regrets fucking elderly people, is Andrew Goldfarb. Ryan Clements?
Yes.
Take me home.
You know what I like, Greg?
What's that?
I like some music.
Yeah.
That's why we end Podcast Beyond with a song every week. So if you want to end our show, you should send me and the Beyond crew a song. Send it to beyond@IGN.com and join the conversation, and also join our musical interludes. Not interludes. I always forget what the word for the end is.
Outro.
Coda.
Play us out.
So anyway, just like Greg did. Not Greg Miller.
I didn't write a song.
Yeah, it's a different Greg, but also Greg from Chicago, Illinois.
That's weird. I'm going back there tomorrow.
Doppelganger. So Greg writes, Beyond, hey guys, / powerhouse, here's a sexually ambiguous song from my band Save the Clock Tower.
Nice!
It's called Like That, and it's from our newest album, Through the Glass. You can find it on iTunes or Bandcamp or wherever you download music, but Bandcamp is the cheapest. Check out our website, www.savetheclocktowermusic.com. Follow us on Twitter, etc. Special shout out to Greg, you.
Yeah.
Not him.
Not himself.
Right? No, but you.
Special shout out to myself.
He's been truly inspirational, and I chowed down my Portillo's Italian beef in honor of him last night with a side of cheese fries.
God, I can't
Keep
wait.
Keep up the good work, Beyond. From Greg, this is Save the Clock Tower's song off their album, Through the Glass. Like That. It's really good.
Good.
Let's listen.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Are you the guy that does all the work or the clown on all the videos?
Funny story. While we were up here, we got a text message from one Justin Davis, and I know what his won IGN's game of the year. It just so happens to be.
You know I can't see. Can't see the mirror or the windscreen. Can't see the warning or the red light. You're something being in the tight, the tight.
This is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.